talking about them in the realm of their initial energy, they're called dead, because Chachma is the opposite of dead. Again, these are poetic terms. Person's clearly alive. Why are they called dead? Dead means, and everybody, we know this, when is a tree alive? A tree is alive when it's in the ground, when the roots are in the ground. That's when a plant or a tree is alive. When is the tree dead? As soon as you cut it down. As soon as the tree or the plant or the flower feels separated from its source, or actually is separated from its source, it's dead. And that's why when the Jewish people, their level of Chachma, the Alter Rebbe says, is a level that irrationally connects. Irrationally connects, that means it connects even when it would stop the individual from feeling a sense of individuality. Even when it would take away from your personal status, it still connects you back up. That's ultimate life. That's ultimate connectedness. The nations of the world, Alter Rebbe says, are given a neshama, not a neshama, but to be technical, given a nefesh, given a spiritual energy that doesn't give them this type of irrational pull. And instead, it gives them an irrational pull to be disconnected, to feel separated, to feel as if they power themselves to escape from the reality that they are connected with a higher power, to be self-centered, selfish, doing what they want for their personal gratification. That's called death, because that's called disconnected. So death is just another word for being disconnected. So the Alter Rebbe says that when you're looking at the terminologies, Chachma, the word, whenever you find the word Chachma, it means connection. Whenever a person is disconnected, then they're dead. So therefore, there's actually a pasuk, there's actually a verse that says, Yamusu v'lo b'chachma. They will die without any wisdom. Death is a direct result of lack of chachma. Therefore, the nations that receive their life force from Klipa are considered dead. Now, what about the Jews that don't fulfill the mitzvahs? Are they alive or are they dead? So we just got finished saying that the Jews, that because of our neshama, because of our power plant that Hashem gave us, we have this irrational desire to keep on connecting to Hashem in higher and greater ways. What about the Jews that don't do the mitzvahs? Are they connected like the Jews who do the mitzvahs, or are they dead like the non-Jewish world? And the answer is, they're in a state of suspended animation. That's what Alter Rebbe says. Until they're put to the test, they're dead, but they can't be really dead, because as soon as they're put to a test where it becomes clear that if you take this step, you're not going to be a Jew anymore, immediately they wake up and they're ready to give up their existence, their life, in order to sanctify Hashem's name, as we've clearly seen over all the thousands of years that the Jewish nation has existed. As long as they don't face this test, the level of Chachma is dormant and sleeping. Because the faculty of Chachma in the divine soul, with the spark of godliness that is clothed in it, are in exile. So Alter Rebbe used another way of saying it's suspended animation. It's an exile. Just like when a person is kicked out of their house, kicked out of their country, are you connected? You're not there anymore. But if you can be brought back in a flash, are you really kicked out? You're only kicked out as far as your understanding, as far as your apparent appreciation is concerned. The exile of the faculty of Chachma within the animal soul, while the animal soul dominates the body, is similar, the Alter Rebbe says, to the way the Shekhinah is exiled, the way Hashem himself allows his energy to be grabbed and held by the negative side, as we mentioned earlier. For this reason, the love found in the divine soul. The divine soul wants to unite with Hashem. This love is called a hidden love because, Alter Rebbe says, hidden love itself seems to be a contradiction in terms. If you love something, then it's not so hidden. And if it's hidden, then you really don't love it. Hidden is when it is covered up. it's in exile. It's hidden and it's veiled in the sackcloth of the klipa, in the cover-up of this negative spiritual energy. The klipa causes a person, in a sense of silliness, in a sense of foolishness, the way of foolishness, to sin. Alter Rebbe says this is self-delusion. And this is a creation that Hashem creates. Hashem creates klipa. Hashem creates the klipa to be powerful enough to cover up our own understanding, to stop us and block us from understanding, from realizing what is really good and what is really our, what is our reality and what is something that we're not. So anyway, Alter Rebbe says, why is it that this worst sinner will still willingly sacrifice his life if in fact the klipa covers up and the klipa gives us the sense of silliness, of foolishness, and we can be convinced that we're living in a world that we're really not living in, that we're really still good, and we're really not good at all, we're really doing all kinds of bad things? The answer is because chachma can cover up, klipa can cover up chachma. Klipa cannot cover up what's higher than chachma. What's higher than chachma is the sense of faith, the amuna, the faith that has. The exile of the fact that chachma affects only the aspect which is diffused through the nefesh and animates it. The root, the core of chachma, which is in the godly soul, it does not get covered up. It's only sleeping. Sleeping means that it doesn't affect the body, so long as the person is actually involved with all kinds of materialistic pleasures, taking care of themselves. But as soon as there is something that is poking you deep enough and sharp enough, and it's waking you up, and now you got to make a decision that's crystal clear. If I do this, God forbid, I will be disconnected from Hashem in a very clear sense, in a very clear way, that nobody can convince me and I can't convince myself is not a problem. Because Alter Rebbe is telling us we're only as Jews going to do things that we can rationalize. Yes, it might be cognitive dissonance. We might be rationalizing things that if you really think about it, cannot be rationalized, but somehow we rationalize it. But when you reach a point where you can't rationalize anymore, then what wakes up inside of yourself is this level of emuna, of faith. And then the chachma, which was just sleeping, now wakes up and it does its job and it connects us once again in a very real way, in a way that's being felt, in order to lead the sinner to withstand the test of faith in God without any reasoning or knowledge to comprehend. Why would this sinner, who is though all the other sins, why would this particular sin stop the person? Why would he say, this is my red line? And the answer is, he always had a red line. Only thing is, person was sleeping. Now that you're up, now you realize that you're about to fall off the cliff. And therefore, you will prevail over the klipa, or you will prevail over all your desires towards worldly matters, whether this thing is permitted or forbidden. It could be something that is even permitted, but because you sense that if you do this thing which Hashem allows you to do, you're going to be too wrapped up in yourself, you're not going to do it anymore. And for sure, if it's a forbidden thing, which you was accustomed to indulge, even to despise them, even a person will say, I hate this thing. This thing that you were previously so excited to do, now you're going to say, "Ugh, it's terrible, I hate it, it's ruining my life." And instead, you're going to choose Hashem, meaning spirituality, Hashem's plan for us, so that this individual is prepared to offer his soul to God, even for something that's very simple. The Gemara talks about the concept of, during the time of mass and forced conversions during the Roman period, there was a time when the Romans told the Jews that they have to tie their sandals, their shoelaces, a certain way. And the Jews, it seemed, had a certain custom in tying their sandals, in the straps on their sandals. And the Romans had another style. Now, does it really matter? Is there any mitzvah anywhere in the Torah that tells you how to tie your sandals? Which style of tying? You tie it this way, tie it. Of course not. Yet there were Jews who were ready to give up their life, not to tie their sandals the way the Romans tied their sandals, because they did not want to even externally appear to be a Roman. So this is something that is totally beyond understanding. And the reason is because the individual feels that if you do this thing, even though it's not a mitzvah per se, but it will disconnect you. It will put you in a different category, and you don't want to be in that category. You want to be a Roman. You want to be a Jew. Even though the klipa has prevailed him all his life, and he was not able to fight back, as our sages tell us, that for the wicked people do not own their heart. Their heart owns them. Their desires run them. They don't own their desires. They don't determine what they want to do. Their desires are in charge of them. Their inclinations are what's in charge of them. However, if a person has such an event occurs to them where things all of a sudden become crystal clear, then your emunah, your faith in Hashem wakes up. It wakes up your level of chachma. And of course, your level of chachma is the level where Hashem's energy resides, Hashem's energy connects you to. And the klipas disappear because in truth, they don't exist. They're only a test that Hashem created in order to give us reward. So they don't really exist in the first place. And as soon as a person wakes up and is totally connected with the level of chachma, which is in themselves, then they're actually able to recognize and realize that all of these things that you wanted yesterday with such a strong desire, not only do you not want, they don't even exist in your mind. They're not even something that is at all motivating you to chase out, to be chased after. And Alter Rebbe quotes different verses where David HaMelech, King David, is saying these things. They're melted, like the wax melts before fire. Even mountains, even something that is as great and as powerful as the huge mountain is going to all of a sudden melt. These verses illustrate that the klipas are going to vanish. The force of the divine light is so intense that they will get rid of all of these, the state of mind that has been tying us down, that has been preventing us from feeling the desire to connect with Hashem. All of this nisayon, this test, which makes things all of a sudden crystal clear, which wakes up our level of chachma inside of ourselves, is going to cause all of the negativity to disappear, so that he will sacrifice his life. He will not speak falsely concerning the unity of God. Even when your world's not, in person's not even going to make a declaration that I believe in this and this and this, even though you don't really believe in this and this. Meaning the readiness for self-sacrifice is therefore not an explanation. This we're now answering the fourth question that we answered before. When a person really has the ability to connect, when the love of this hidden love for Hashem becomes not so hidden, and things become crystal clear, then we have the ability to totally act in concert, according to the way that Hashem wants us to act, and that is an expression of fear of Hashem. This is called the fear contained in love, meaning the natural love which is found in the Jew's neshama. The Jew's neshama wants by its nature, and we said before that this is not even a rational understanding thing, something you can explain. Inexplicably, above understanding, we want to be connected with our source. Because of this love, we also inexplicably are afraid of doing anything that will disconnect ourselves from Hashem. Even in something that appears to be superficial, like just saying something wrong, or doing something without really believing it, bowing down to the idol, but I don't really believe this thing. So this is, therefore, to sum up, today in chapter 19, we finished explaining the other two questions, and that is, what does the love for Hashem want, that this hidden love, and by the way, we also explain why is it called a hidden love. What does this hidden love want? And how is this hidden love also composed of fear of Hashem? As we have said, that you need to have both of these levels, fear and love for Hashem, in order to properly do the mitzvah. And we explain that the love for Hashem is compared to the fire, the fire of a candle, just like the fire of a candle wants to separate itself from the candle, even though that would mean that it would no longer be existing independently. It wants to go back to the source of fire, the spiritual source of fire. So too, the Jew's neshama wants to disconnect itself. And the fact that it doesn't actually disconnect itself is because there is klipa that is covering us up, and therefore it's called hidden love. It's not always felt. When does it become not hidden? When does the love for Hashem all of a sudden come out in full force? The Alter Rebbe says, when you have a test that makes crystal clear the fact that if you don't take this action right now, you're going to be forever disconnected. Or if you do this wrong thing, you're going to be forever disconnected. So when things become crystal clear, then all of a sudden, the person wakes up. Alter Rebbe describes the mechanics of how it works. The level of Chachma was always okay. The only problem was that it was sleeping. Now that you have this crystal clear event, this event which all of a sudden puts things into sharp perspective, you wake up and you say, I can't do this because I'll be killing myself. I can't do this because I'll be disconnecting myself from my true sense of source and of life. And then the Chachma wakes up, and not only will you have the emotion that you want to be connected, but you'll also in action not do anything that will even superficially disconnect you. And I'll never define that as fear. Because in general, as we're going to see later chapters, all of the proactive things that a person does is motivated by love. And all of the things that a person stops themselves from doing is motivated by fear, motivated by a sense of a lack of fear to not have the disconnection that you are that might happen if you're going to do this thing. So this is